versus truth. And also, we were talking about the progressive revelation that God has given to us. Church history started when?
Back in eternity past. In
eternity past. So we've gone on for the Adam. We even went back in eternity past with the angels and spirits, how that they sinned and rebelled against God. And we're studying a lot of things. We're studying right now the decrees of God in systematic theology. And this is also applied in this. This is all, if you study all of these classes, you'll see how they all tie together. The decrees of God. God decreed that he would do all this stuff. And you say, well, why did he allow all this evil? That's what, and why does God allow this evil today? Why does he do it? I want to ask you, why does he allow it? Why does God allow evil today? What?
Volition.
That one word, volition. The volitational quality of his creation. Every animate thing has volition. Every animate thing. Animals and man. Spirits and angels. They all have volition. They all have the right to go one way or the other. Because God could not get glory from anything if it didn't voluntarily, volitatively follow and worship him. At all. He couldn't get any glory out of it. Anybody can make a robot and say, I love you. They have dolls that you can train, remember? Remember those little things that you used to train and talk to them and they got a memory and all this? Well, I've got one in there in the radio room and they're setting up there. I can't remember. It was a furry looking little thing. I feed me and all this kind of stuff. Remember these little things? What do you call that?
I know struggle.
Yeah, I love you. So what? You trained it to say that.
Right.
You've made it say that. It can't love you. So when God creates something, it has to have volition before it can love in return. The Bible says, why did God create all of this stuff? Why did he do this? Why did he allow all of this?
For his glory.
Well, for his glory, yes, but because he loved. God loves. So he shared his creation. He shares it. He shares his creation because he loves. We come all the way down here. We saw mankind. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, we see the fallen mankind and fallen angels got together. And they had children, which were Nephilim. And we know that they were before the flood, and that was the reason for the flood. Because they were so corrupt and they were depleting all animal and human life. This is where all the vampire story. You know that now, don't you, Peyton?
Yep.
You read it.
Yep.
Spooky, isn't it? This is what happened back then. And not only that, if you look and read this stuff, you will realize maybe some of the things you're doing today came from there. You don't want that. Forget it. Get away from it. All of this. So we see all of this, and this is progressive revelation. Why did he go through all of this to get to here? This is a training session. Just
and
a training.
I think that if God revealed everything to us at once,
He
no,
can't.
We can't handle it. Brains can't handle it.
No. We have a very, we live in a very privileged time today because we can look backwards. Mm-hmm. Hindsight is 20/20, as they say. We can look back and say, well, he's a crazy guy and everything. Why do you think all of this is in the Bible? Because we are this way today. I preach on the radio a lot, live. And people ask me Bible questions quite a little bit out there. And this is what I've been doing for over 40 years. And people like to read the story about my family, the Shadow of an Indian Star. There's a bad guy in there called Fletcher in that book. He's a bad, bad man. He's a murderer. He's a sneak and a rat. And my grandfather ran into him twice in his life. One time he killed his best friend. And the next time he was killing his family. And he was in there he decided to cut his throat in the middle of the night. And he slipped into his tent. He was in there. All these Indians are starving on the Chickasaw Trail of Tears, starving to death, living in filth. They're dying all over the place. And this man's the cause of it. And this man killed his best friend and benefactor, murdered him. He was a black man, but he was a free man. He wanted to make him a slave and make money on him. He was free. Well, he slipped into his tent. Smith Paul did. This is my great-great-great-grandfather. He had this knife. He slipped into that tent. He got in a wrestling match. This guy was naked in a bathtub in there, in all the luxuries of life, while these Indians were all starving to death. He put the knife to his throat. And the guy is scared to death. And he will almost cut his throat, but he decided not to. Blood was coming down and right from the knife blade. And he told him to get out of there. Don't you ever hurt my people again, or I will kill you. I will gut you and drag you around on a pole, gutted, among these tribes. He took off and he left. But he left a trail of sin and badness because he affected the next one. He should have cut his throat. Except he thought, got to think, well, maybe it'll be worse if they kill this captain of all this stuff, you know. Maybe it will be worse. But he left. The next time they got somebody else a little bit better to lead them on the Trail of Tears. The Trail of Tears were a trail of death. In the Cherokee, the Chickasaw, Osage, Lakota, whatever it was a trail of death. We see death and liars. And my friend that's come up here and visited me many times, he says, there's Fletchers all the time in history, isn't there? And I said, yes. We're full of Fletchers. The world's full of Fletchers. Full of them all the time. And the one back in eternity past, his name was Lucifer. God didn't do anything wrong to him at all, did he? He made him more beautiful than all the rest. But he turned. We come all the way. Human government. What's the basis of human government? It failed, and it's still failing today, but what's the basis of human government? What's the basis of human government? Why human government?
Slavery. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Human government is supposed to protect men from men, mm-hmm. and men from the government. Is it working?
No.
Has it ever worked?
No.
Only among Indian tribes did it work. The most successful democracies in the world that ever was. That's the only place it ever worked. But they're not around anymore, are they? That great big democracy. Like it was. But we are trying to force the world to become democracies, but we don't have the basis of government of democracy here. The basis of government is capital punishment, isn't it? Romans. The government wields the sword not in vain. The sword is capital punishment. People must be forced, and there are some crimes that are so bad that you don't send them to penal colonies and make them better. Were there any prisons in the Bible time?
No. There was cities of refuge, but
thank you very much.
Not prisons.
They arrested my dad in 1975. For breaking out of Jackson, Michigan prison in a helicopter. And he got caught because he wanted to get caught. They couldn't have caught him if they didn't want to. He could stay gone forever. And they'd have found him if he wanted to. But he wanted a lawyer to prove that why he was in prison to begin with false charges. They got out there and they asked him something. They say, he said, prisons aren't for human beings. They're not for people. What are you going to do? He said, oh, Bible. Colonies where people can live and among each other, because he said some people can't live among society. Some people have to be put someplace. And cities of refuge. But the capital punishment is there, isn't it? The government must. They've been killing people lately, executing people in different places and states lately. And they're having fits. I saw one guy on an interview. He was a big black guy, and he said, "I raped and murdered this woman, and I'm sorry, it's wrong, but I must pay the penalty." And everybody, "I don't want to." He said, "I must die. What is you're going to do to me is just because I did it. I wish I could undo it, but I didn't undo it. And what's going to happen is okay, because I must pay the penalty. I must pay my debt to society." Well, you see all the ones crying and bawling. Look at this guy that they brought down here a while back, Charles Manson. Our government failed us in not executing that man. They failed. The government flopped and fell on his face. And they supported him. He even got married in prison. Now, all these rights, all these libraries and everything. Penal colonies. Had a cousin back in the South, Bo Walker. Bo Walker, back in, you know, in the South, and 75 years ago, you had to be a model citizen or you went to jail. Did you know that? You couldn't even work on Sunday. You might go to jail and working on Sunday back in some of those places. You couldn't open a store on Sunday or whatever. They'd stop it. Now we see all that going on around here, that blue laws, you know. Not that it was right, but they had morals. Well, anyway, they caught him. He left the window open when he was with this woman. Stayed all night with her. So they got him for public immorality. They put him in the road. They put him in a chain gang. He escaped from the chain gang. And he came out here to California. He would never go back to Mississippi or Arkansas ever again. That's a deterrent to crime. Is it not? Did it work? Watch Cool Hand Luke, all of this. They don't want to go back.
Well, it's like that. I mean, he's not the governor anymore, but in Arizona.
Yes.
And he had that prison that all
yes.
the men wore pink and they ate bologna and
yeah.
they fed their own food and
yeah.
they voted him out now, which is sad, but
well, he was very old now, but
they had like a 90% rate of them not returning.
That's right.
Like 90% of those men didn't return.
They didn't want to return. Bo never wanted to go back.
No. No.
No way. It's a deterrent to crime. This is necessary for a government to stand. You understand that? It's necessary. Our government is supporting criminals. And criminals, the gangsters that come up here from South America and everything, they come up here and they get their girlfriends pregnant. And then the government, on Medi-Cal, they take care of all of them. And we're surprised. And one gangster will have three or four women that's supporting him. This is true. There's something wrong here, people. This is wrong. All of this teaches us lessons, but have we learned? Well, governments haven't learned, I don't think. Yes, brother.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it's something I heard years ago in you. There's two governments, two governments that we have to uphold all times. Rule of law outside,
mm-hmm.
military defense in all times.
Yes.
Order from without and order from within.
Yes. We have to have order from without. We have to protect ourselves from external enemies. This is what we call foreign policy. We have to have a war. I'm not a war, but an army to protect ourselves from other criminals that would come in and take us over. But we shouldn't be taking other people over, which we've done real good doing that. This is wrong. It's wrong. We protect ourselves from the outside, and we protect ourselves from the inside with the death penalty and correctional institutions. And the lawyers, I would like to see, now we're talking about the basis of human society today, aren't we? And this is church history, too. We're talking about the basis of human society that works. And we find out it's not working very well, is it? It's not working very well. Our problem with the world is greed. Our problem in America with health care is greed. That's a problem with the pharmaceuticals and the doctors. Now, all the other doctors quit these other systems and came here so they can get rich in a hurry. In other countries, the president the other day, Trump, was talking to the Prime Minister of Australia, and he said they got better health care than we do because it's not based upon greed. We've got a real problem with this, people. We've got a real problem with it. This all is the big... It's there. But the problem is Fletcher's. Fletcher's. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of Fletchers in the world. They've always been there. A lot of Hillels, a lot of Lucifers in the world. A lot of Ahabs and Jezebels. No, I'm not going to leave Jezebel out. We're going to go right down there in a few minutes, maybe. And then we have the human government was a failure. They concentrated, and all of our diseases today were caused because of what happened in Europe. In Babylon, where they concentrated, and there's where we have slavery. 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 And then we have the earth is divided in the days of Peleg, and the languages basically before that, they were all confused. And so we have all the split. And then we have the call of Abraham. God calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which was the most educated, advanced country in that time, and told him to go over here and go to Canaan, because in Genesis, the ninth chapter, I promised Noah that you would have the land of Canaan. Canaan will be your slave because these people are bad. And he did not. And some of those people got saved, didn't they? Did some of them get saved? Not all of them were bad people. That because we have what? We have volition. We have the qualitative quality of even nations. Okay? You don't believe that? What did Jonah do? Yeah, he preached to Nineveh. Nineveh is the people that invented crucifixion. They invented the lock. They invented a lot of things. That was a great contribution to society. Crucifixion? Capital punishment? Well, Jesus wasn't stoned, was he? He didn't have his head chopped off. He wasn't strangled. What are the different kinds of capital punishment that Israel used in its time?
To burn you alive?
The burning.
Yeah.
Okay, they take a person. They tie the polar hands out here like this. First of all, they take them in an outhouse and put them down in an outhouse. Outhouse was a public cesspool. They dumped all of their thunder mugs like that one over there in this area. And they take the person because they were like dumb. You know what the word for kafar is? Kafar is Arabic. Everybody that's not a Muslim is a kafar. That's dung. Refuse. They take them out here in this pit where everybody dumped their dung. And they'd make them kneel down in that. And they'd hold their hands out like this, and they would stick like a wick down their throat while they're choking, like you go down and you have this endoscope. They do that, and then they light the wick, and they hold you down there while you suffocate and die and burn. That's what was going to happen to Tamar. Remember? When Judah said he was going to burn her, that's one of the executions. Was Jesus burned like that? All right. Another form of execution was stoning. Was Jesus stoned? Now, when you're put out there like this and you light the wick and you're burned to death, could Jesus have controlled the time of his departure? No. If he was stoned, could he control the time of his departure from this life and his death? No. What else was it? What other thing? Strangling. They strangled you. Strangled you to death. They would take a person, tie his hands, make him... All of this takes place in a dunghole. Because they're dung of society. And they do not bury him either. They don't bury these people. They throw them out in the dump. They take this person, they tie his arms out there, and they take him, and they take a rope on one side or a cloth on one side, and they begin to pull it until he's strangled to death. That's strangling. Hung. This is what you call being hung, strangled, hung. This is hanging. Okay, this is the hanging. This is what you call strangling or hanging. And another form of Jewish execution was what?
Impaling?
No, not really. What's the other one, brother? Do you remember?
They would stab people in the heart?
Nope.
Oh.
They were beheaded.
Oh.
But that was a Roman thing. That's a Jewish thing.
No, that's a Jewish thing, beheading. Oh, yeah, that's a Jewish and Arabic.
I said beheading, but...
Yeah, beheading. They did this. They'd take them out there again in a dung pile, pull them out there, hold her arms out, and grab a hold of her head, and somebody chops her head off. Now, could Jesus control, in any of these things, could he control his departure? But he did when he was crucified, didn't he? He said, Father, unto you I release my spirit. That was real important. Now, we have the Jehovah's Witness. Do you know, have any Jehovah's Witness brethren, friends? Do you? They have a whole problem with this crucifixion, don't they? Jesus didn't die on a cross. He didn't even die on a cross or picking up after the Islam, you know. And it wasn't Jesus that died on the cross, it was Michael the archangel that died on the cross. But that takes away the whole decrees of God and all of the whole economy of God's plan of salvation. God became flesh and died on the cross for us, and he was crucified on that cross. The Romans took that cross, the impaling that was invented in Nineveh. That, remember the old bad guy? Haman, yeah, he was impaled. That was impaling. They took a sharp, actually, crucifixion started as a sharp stake. It was a sharp stake, and they would grease the sharp stake, and they would take a man and strip him off naked and set him on top of him, and it would go right up to his innards. Slowly, 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 and he would die of being ruptured inside. That's what happened to Haman. That's what he's going to do to Mordecai. But the Romans said, this is too quick. Yeah. We want to make our people suffer. So they took the stake, the staros. Okay, they say it's the stake that Jesus was crucified on. No. Then they take, and they take a key cross. Like, well, they took a stake, first of all, and they nailed their hands like this and their feet together. And how you die in crucifixion is by suffocation. And they suffocated too fast that way. So then, they took them and they put an X cross like this. This is what we call a key. The Greek key, letter key. Nail one hand here, one hand here, one foot there, one foot there. And they lived longer. But they said, let's make them suffer more. Let's make them suffer longer. Let's be this great deterrent to crime. So then they had a cross like a T. And they put a block out there where they nailed their feet on it, and they put their arms up to them like this, and they nailed them through the wrist with washers on them. They didn't nail them through the hands, they nailed them through the wrist. Right through the carpal tunnel area. That hurts a lot, see? Right through the feet. And they're up there suffering and suffering and suffering. They said, let's let them rest. Because they had to push themselves up to get a breath, and then they go down. Well, sooner or later, they're going to suffocate. So they gave them a seat to sit on right here. They put a little block of wood on there so they could sit on it and rest. So they'd live longer in that torture. And that's the way Jesus was crucified. He was on there 9 o'clock, 6 hours. That seemed like eternity because he suffered for all eternity for this, for our sins. That's Nineveh. God uses every country in some way. He used Hitler, didn't he? Two ways God used Hitler. One thing, to stop communism from Russia. Franklin Roosevelt allowed him to go for a long time to go in there and beat up a bunch of those Russians so we wouldn't have as many Russians to fight today because the world was going to go into communism. And I've said you this, maybe you haven't heard this, but every European nation had volunteers in the SS Waffen. That's the Foreign Legion. Every nation in Europe joined Hitler's army, some of them. Some of the people went there because they didn't want to become communists. This communist threat was real, and they knew it. The people that guarded the last compound of Russia I mean, not Russia, but Germany, where Hitler was, were not Germans. They were Lithuanians. They fought to the death because they did not want to go under the great Tsar, Russian Stalin. What did Stalin do once Germany was whipped? He turned their guns on us. Remember the movie Patton? You ever watch the movie Patton? You ought to watch it. Very true. Patton had a real problem with the Russians over there. He said, let's get after it. Let's kill them now. And they said, woo! He said, we're going to have to fight them anyway. Let's do it right now. We're here. We don't have to muster up another army. We're ready. Let's go. Let's get them. They had a lot of trouble with him. And by the way, he all of a sudden died, didn't he? Very mysteriously.
Yeah.
Patton died. But did we have Russia to fight? How about if Franklin Roosevelt had gone in there at the beginning and stopped them from going into Russia? Woo! We'd had a problem anyway. But millions of those people died. God's unpreventable progress in nations. Let's go on. We jumped ahead a little bit. The promise. Abraham goes into the land of Canaan. Canaan means what? Canaan. Canaan. What's the Hebrew word mean?
I know. I'm trying to...
You better get it out now.
I don't have my Bible with me.
Oh, Brother Ray. Canaan. Gotten.
Oh, that's right.
Gotten. The land is yours. It's gotten. I got it for you. Okay? Cain's name and Canaan are the same name. Of Eve says, I have gotten the man, Eth Jehovah, even Jehovah. She thought she'd gotten the Savior. We go on. We have the 400 years in Egypt. We have Jacob taken down in Egypt. They're going down there for 400 years. I told you last week about the 12 sons of Jacob. They were scared to death of those boys because they were greatest warriors in the world. These boys could whip, one man could whip 1,000. That's where they got the idea when David said, Saul kills his hundreds and David kills his what? 10,000s. Because Jacob's sons did that. And guess who? David was a lion of the tribe of what?
Judah.
Of the Judah. Judah was the greatest warrior in the Canaanite wars. He slew 10,000. So they're looking at David and going all the way back. All the way back. And Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, not Judah. And the Messiah would be come from the tribe of Judah. All right. Let's go on. So we have the Egyptian bondage. They come out on the land and they're wandering around for 40 years. And then we come to the time of the Shoftim. Shoftim. Say Shoftim. Shoftim. Shoftim means judges. Who was the first judge of Israel? They don't write it down, but who was the first judge of Israel? Who?
Moses?
Moshe. Moses. Moses was the first judge. Was he the first judge or not? Okay, he was the first judge of Israel. All right. The first judge. And how long did he judge Israel? How long did Moses judge Israel?
100 years.
How many years? 40 years. 40 years. 4 tens. 4 ten is what it says in Hebrew. 40 years. He judged them. Now, he died. Moses died about 1407 B.C. All right. According to some chronologies. All right. That's just some chronologies. And about 1500 B.C. Now, you have to go back. When you go back in B.C., it's 1000, 2000, 3000, 4000 B.C. before Christ. Now, the Jews will say B.C.E. before the common era because they won't say before Christ. They will not say that. They don't have a Messiah. They didn't have a Messiah. Yet they've accepted many false messiahs since then. If you study church history, as we will study church history when we come into A.D., all right, after Christ, we're going to study the modern church history and the modern history of Israel and Islam. And all of the isms out there, we're going to look at all of this together. Well, who was the guy that took Moses' place, Moshe? Moshe means what? What's Moshe mean, you know? Huh? Moshe, it means Moses, but what does his name mean? To draw out or to rescue? Did he? Who named him? His father, his mother, his aunts, his uncles, his brothers, his sisters, all of them had a different name for Moses. I could bring all those names out, but I do not have them in here in front of me. He had a lot of names, but he's known by Moshe, which means to draw out or rescue. All right. Who took his place?
Joshua.
And Joshua had two names, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had one name before and one name now. Go find it up for next week. Find that out. Joshua the son of Nun. He's somebody else the son of Nun. Go look that one up. Okay, that's good for you to know. Did you know that, brother? He had two names. Okay. Now, he judged Israel for how long? He was an old man, too, wasn't he? Only two people lived through that 40 years of wandering. Joshua and Caleb. That's the only two. And they went into the land. And what were they afraid of? What was Israel afraid of when they went into the land?
The giants.
The giants. And Caleb said, what? Give me that mountain where all those giants are. I'll take them. I'll do it. Old man, Caleb, said, give me that mountain. Up there by Hebron, that's where all the giants were. He said, I'll take them because I know God's with me. Who brought the good report back with all the grapes? Joshua and Caleb. He said, that's our land. God gave it to us. Now, later on, Israel, did you know that Israel tried to go in and take the land during that 40 years? Did you know that? You knew that. They didn't succeed because God told them, you're not going in there. You're not worthy of it. And they got killed and whipped. So they wandered for 40 years, and Moses was out there with them for 40 years in the wilderness, but he did not get to go into the promised land. Because he did what? What did he do? He what?
He got angry and struck the rock.
He got angry and struck the rock. Now, the first time, did God tell him to strike a rock?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. That rock typified Christ, because Jesus was the rock. He said, upon this rock I'll be building my church. Jesus was the type of that rock. The first time Jesus came, he was struck, wasn't he? He was crucified. But the second time he comes, what? He's going to be the God of glory. Now, Moses was supposed to hit the rock the first time and water flowed. The second time he's supposed to speak to it because it was a type of Christ and his second coming right here and here. Okay? You learning? All right, now, after Joshua...
How long did Joshua judge Israel?
40 years. Now, Now, I'm going to give you the Jewish idea of who these judges were and everything. Joshua, son of Nun. Okay? He died about 1390 B.C., according to some chronology. All right, I'm just telling you this. And then Othniel was the next judge for 40 years for the tribe of Judah. And then we have Ehud ben Gera of the tribe of Benjamin. We have Shamgar ben Anath, a Levite. Look at this. And then we have Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lepidot from Ephraim, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. All right. And then we have Barak ben Abinom of the tribe of Naphtali. And then we have Gideon. You've heard of Gideon. Gideon ben Joash from the tribe of Manasseh. Now look at this. All these tribes are representative judges, aren't they? A lot of tribes are being representative judges. And then we have Abimelech. What does Abimelech mean? Abimelech ben Gideon. Abimelech ben Gideon, son of Gideon. That's what his name was. All right. And what does Abimelech mean? Abimelech. Abba Melech. Marilyn, what's Abimelech mean?
I'm seeking.
All right. Are you finished?
Isn't Abba Father?
Father of Melech, the king. Father of the king. Father of the king. And then we have Tola ben Pua of the tribe of Issachar. And then we have Jair, or Yair, Hagildah, of the tribe of Manasseh. And then we have Jephthah from the tribe of Manasseh. And then we have Ibzan, or Yivzan, of Bethlehem from the tribe of Judah, a judge from Judah. And then we have Elyon, or Elyon, from the tribe of Zebulun. And they said he judged 10 years. And then we have Abdon ben Hillel. Look at that word Hillel there. Hillel. What's Hillel mean?
Like
Abdon ben Hillel. What's Abdon mean? Abaddon. What's Abaddon mean? This word.
A warrior?
Abaddon means destroyer.
Yeah.
Son of light. Ben Hillel. Hillel is the name for Lucifer in Hebrew. All right. And then we got Samson ben Manoah. Samson, son of Manoah, from the tribe of Dan. What does Dan mean? And Dinah. Judge. 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 And then we have Eli, the high priest of Shiloh, which judged Israel. And he was a Levite. Remember, we have a whole history of Eli. And then we have Samuel. Samuel the prophet, son of Elkanah, a Levite. And then we go on. Now, this is all through the judges. Israel's being judged. What's they doing? What's going on with these judges? Were all these judges good guys?
No.
How about Samson? That guy was a rebel from the word go, wasn't he? He was a Nazarite, wasn't he? What's a Nazarite? Not a Nazarene, but a Nazarite.
They're like set apart.
You understand that, Rooster, out there? You listen to me good?
He's still sitting there.
He's sitting there watching me. All right. A Nazarite, Maryland. Oh, yes, the fish and the chipmunks up there just come out here, and the lizards listen to me when I'm preaching. That, you know, the book, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, which really isn't there, but it says, preach to every creation, to all creatures, every creature. Well, we're preaching to the creatures also, even though it's not there. That's a little addition later on in the Gospel of Mark. Well, Samson. Samson was a Nazarite. A Nazarite, do you like grapes? Any of you like grapes? You like grapes? Mm-hmm. How about raisins? Mm-hmm. You know a Nazarite could not eat grapes or raisins, and they could not drink wine, mm-hmm. nor grape juice. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have this. That was a forbidden. When a priest went into service, he stayed in the service for so long, so many days. He stayed in the service for so many days that he could not come near his wife. He had to concentrate. And these priests are all a type of what? They're all a type of Christ. Our great high priest. Our great priest. Okay? Now, beside what the Mormons say and what these people with the Da Vinci Code say, remember the Da Vinci Code, the movie? And the girl in there, basically the heroine of the movie was a descendant of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And she was that sacred cup, supposedly. She was the sacred cup of Christ. This is baloney, people. Those priests were a type of Christ. Our Lord did not get married. Our Lord did not think of that. Yet he lived to be 33 years old. But he did not do that. Why, the Joseph Smith said that he was a descendant of Jesus through Mary Magdalene. Did you know that? Yeah. He's a descendant of Jesus through Mary Magdalene, Joseph Smith. Yes, that's what he said. But the Bible, all of these types are can't be broken, can they? They cannot be broken. We look at him and he broke all the rules, didn't he? But God used him anyway. Reminds me of me. Reminds me of you? Just a little bit? Just a little bit? He reminded you of you? Breaking all the rules, but God used him anyway. But it cost him, didn't it? It cost him. He was humiliated, but in his death, he was honored again. In his death. We see all of these priests. And then we have the first king of Israel. Who's that? The first king of Judah and Israel, basically. Who is it? Saul. What does Saul mean? Sheol. Sheol.
The one asked for.
Sheol, the name for hell or Hades. Hades in Greek, Sheol in Hebrew. Now, your Jehovah Witness brethren will say that Jesus went to the tomb. Didn't go to Sheol. Because the tomb, the quiver, and Sheol mean the same thing. You listen to that. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses tell you. That's not true at all. You can dig a quiver. That's a tomb. You can carve it out and dig a tomb or dig a grave. You go out here and we have necropolises over there at Union Cemetery, that is. And we have over there at Green Lawn Southwest and Hillcrest and all that. These are necropolises. These are where dead people are buried. The city of the dead. Okay? And there are all these graves, these quivers are dug. You cannot dig a Sheol. Sheol is the place, ask about the place of departed spirits, not bodies. Okay? Saul names the one means the name the person asked for. Israel asked for a king. Did God want Israel to have a king?
No.
Yes.
Well, yes, but not.
Yes.
Not when
he wanted them to have a king. He always planned on having a king.
But not when they wanted.
Rooster will tell you that. See Rooster right there? He's listened to me preach a lot. See?
He's out there going, yes, yes.
That's right. He's right. Israel always wanted a king. I mean, God always wanted a king for Israel. Because in the last chapters of the book of Genesis, Jacob said that the scepter would not depart from Judah's knees until Shiloh came. So where is the king of Israel going to come from? Judah. Where's Saul from? Benjamin. Now really, Jacob's favorite wife was Rachel. And Benjamin is Rachel's son. Joseph and Benjamin. Those are his love children. That's the ones he loved. The other ones were pawned off on him. Were they or were they not? This guy had four wives. How many wives did he want?
One.
And he ended up with four of them. Beyond his control and beyond his really what we call primary goal, he wanted Rachel. He didn't want anybody else. So he was given Rachel's handmaid and he was given Leah, first of all, the woman he didn't want. And Laban quoted the law of Hammurabi. Well, we can't do that. I have to give you that one. And just wait and give her a waiting week, time her to get pregnant, and then you can have the next one next week, and then you can work 7 more years for her. Which he lied again. He was another Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Jim,
yes.
Now, I know that Moses spoke prior to the king, the first king ever came into existence, and described how that king would act, you know, taking your family.
Yes.
And that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before that?
Yes.
You're saying that God intended
them to have a king.
To have a king, but that wasn't going to, I'm just picking up something here, but that wasn't supposed to happen until Jesus came on the scene, right?
That's the king would come through Judah.
Right.
The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so God replaced Saul. You know, the rejection of the firstborn, always in the Bible, the rejection. Your first birth is always rejected. You must be born again. All of this. But yes, he prophesied this. But then when they asked for a king, he said, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, who was the fulfillment of that? It wasn't really Saul. I mean, Saul did it. But who was really the bad actor that a king? No. Solomon. Solomon was a bad actor. But the greatest king of all glory, but that man used the system. He used it. And he was a bad actor, and yet he was a great king of Israel, and the one that kind of unified everything. Actually, David did it. Solomon just walked in his footsteps. He just picked up in the house that David, his father, had built. And then we have, now we're going to have two nations. Is this doing you guys any good? Okay. We have the split kingdom. Now, Solomon goes on and he rules and reigns for a long time. And he just abuses the people terribly. He abuses the people. He overtaxes them. His armies are great. And that man's wealth and his palace and his throne of ivory and gold and silver all around it. It says gold was like dust. Gold was like iron. Gold was everywhere in his thrones and his palaces. And he had horses. And God told the king, don't multiply wives unto yourself. And he did that. How many wives did he have? How many wives does Solomon have? Somebody, how many knows the true number?
300? No, it was 1,000.
What is his real number? A concubine is a wife without any rights. Okay? A concubine is a wife. Islam today can have 4 legal wives that have rights and all the concubines they can afford. I want you to understand that. 4 legal wives and all the concubines they can afford. So they're still Solomon's too, aren't they? If they could afford 1,000, they could afford 1,000. Okay? David had how many wives? I mean, not David, Solomon had how many wives? Nope. How many wives did he have? 1,001. 1,001 wives. Why, Brigham Young didn't even know the names of all his wives, nor Joseph Smith. Didn't remember all their names, but boy, he had more. Solomon had more. 1,001 wives. Who was the 1,001? Who was that other one?
The last one?
Yes.
The black woman?
Yeah, the Queen of Sheba. And her son, where we, Haile Selassie said that he was a descendant of them. This is where we have the black Jews. The black Jews. That was from the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba. And Jesus even quotes that in the New Testament. All right. And then we're going to have a separation of the kingdoms. The separation of the kingdoms. When Solomon dies, there is Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And then we have the false religion against true religion, but even in the true religion, we have false religion. And we're going to go on to that next week. Do you have a question? Are you putting things together?
Yeah.
Is this helping you put things together? We went through all the judges. Now Israel wants a king. So God gives them a king, Saul, but he plans on for them to have a king because he said it back there in Genesis that they were going to have a king. But it would be his king. And David wasn't old enough yet. And so they did have David as their king, and he was of the tribe of Judah and the lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is the last king of Israel. And he will be the last king of Israel. Will he not?
Now, why did the Israel split to Judah?
We're going to do that next week.
Oh, okay.
Next week.
I know some of it, but I...
Yeah. Okay, we have Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And always remember Rehoboam. Rehoboam is a rehash of the old story of his father Solomon. And they ask him... They said, now, this is what the elders of Israel say. Your father taxed us greatly, and our necks were stretched out in service. If you will just lessen the taxes and just have more mercy on us, we will follow you to the end of the world. And what did he say?
Well, he taxed them more, didn't he?
My father's thumb was like my finger. And I am stronger than he was, and I will tax you more than ever. Mm-hmm. And then 10 tribes left. 10 tribes left. And there we have now, we have Judah and Israel, and the other ones went to Jeroboam. And there's where we have the false worship set up in, where? Mount Gerizim. There's where it is. And they start worshiping the golden calf again. Now these are the Samaritans later on. After a while. Are you putting the Bible together? Are you beginning to understand it? You see God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress? And we're going down through this. And I, if you haven't been in my classes for 20 years or whatever, now, Brother Ray, I'm going to teach more church history in this class and all this stuff than you ever heard before. Now, you've listened to those 26 classes. Now, I brought a lot of this out. Okay, I brought a lot of this out, but I'm going to go better this time than I ever did before. And deeper. Because this would probably be my last if I even live through the end of this. That's, your prayers will only get me that far because I'm not doing well. Do you have any questions? Do you feel you have a question? Christina. Did you learn something today? How much? Marilyn, did you learn something today?
Yeah.
You've been listening to him for 19 years.
Yeah.
How about you, Christine?
Yeah. I always go back and re-listen to it a couple of days later because I can't get it all in one.
I'm putting a lot of stuff in this. Lee Kutcher come and listened to me preach one time. I was preaching in my Greek class. He came up there afterwards, you know, and he looked at me shaking his head. He said, it'd take 10 preachers 10 hours to preach what you did in 1 hour. He said, you just roll it, you just woof, out there like that. Well, I've been studying this for a long time. He heard me preach this, but I'm better now, aren't I? A lot added to it. I learned a lot in the last 40 years. You know, that's a lot. I've been preaching 48 years. 48 years. That's a long time. But see now, that's old people. 48-year-old person, they're old, aren't they? I've been preaching for you. They're 30-year-old, aren't they?
You've been preaching as long as I've been on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah, 48 years I've been preaching. That's
yeah,
a long time.
Think about it that way, huh?
48 years, as long as your mother's been on the earth.
Man.
But I'm still learning. I'm still trying to do a better job than I did ever before. Trying to do better. Trying to communicate better than I ever did before. My abilities are less by a long shot, but I'm trying to communicate and get these things out. Matter of fact, this lesson is going to go out all over the world now, just like that. You'll be a part of that. Anything else before I dismiss you and you go out and do something eternal? Anything at all?
Are we having class tomorrow?
Yes, we're having class tomorrow at 2:30.
Okay.
Lord willing, the creek don't rise if I stay alive. And we're going to do systematic theology, I guess, tomorrow.
2:30.
You've been liking that. I was doing creation versus evolution, but you've been liking that systematic theology so much, we've been substituting it.
So you changed it from 2 to 2:30?
It's 2:30.
Oh, okay.
It's whatever. I said it was a 2:30 before. But you missed about 3 or 4 of them, so you forgot what time it is.
I know. No, I thought it was always 2 because I picked my kids up and brought them out at 2.
Okay, 2 o'clock. Fine with me. 2 o'clock.
Well, no. I'm okay with 2:30. It's just
two,
I was a little confused.
2:30.
I was like,
okay.
Wait, I used to pick them up at 2 and come out.
Okay, 2:30.
Okay, 2:30.
You got a little extra time. That way you don't have an excuse to be late.
I got a little extra time. That's right. I can get here. That's
okay.
Right.
Let's have a word of prayer. And Christina, would you just miss us in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all this information. We thank you for Dr. Phillips still being here and able to teach all of us everything he knows. And